Today's podcast is sponsored by jackthreads.com. Now, a little bit of a public service announcement. This Friday is going to be Black Friday, where the scene at the malls across America can often look like a scene out of a zombie movie. It can be crazy AF. And with people running everywhere, it'll look like a scene from when maybe even the aliens come to take everybody to the galactic salt mines. But there's a better way to shop this year on Black Friday, and that's by going to jack.com for all of your menswear needs with deals up to 80% off all week long. Jack Threads is the only site you have to visit. Jack Threads has all sorts of great choices, including accessories, apparel, outerwear, and best of all, that they can let you take the stuff home and try it on risk-free, so I know what fits and what doesn't without having to worry about returning or trying things on at the store. And with deals up to 80% off, Jack Threads is going to be your one-stop shop for stuffing your closet with the season's most essential gear. And it's not just a one-day thing. Jack Threads Black Friday sale runs an entire week, so you can go back for seconds or thirds. And whether it's big-name clothing brands or the Jack Threads in-house line, you'll know you're going to find something you'll love. And with the Jack Threads tryout program, you can try out any of the stylish tees, jeans, and more at home for free. You only pay for what you keep, and if it's not a fit, don't worry. Jack Threads gives you everything you need to ship everything back. So this Black Friday, skip the lines and save up to 80% off at jackthreads.com. That's jackthreads.com to save up to 80% off men's clothing. I'm Rob Cesternino, and we are back talking about the internet's most interesting news stories of the week of November 22nd, 2016, Thanksgiving week on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. We are back once again. The News AF team is here with you. Happy Thanksgiving week to you, Tyson Apostle.
Woot woot. Thanksgiving is a perfect time to give thanks, guys.
Tice-giving.
Is that what it is?
Yes, yes. And also, it's a double dose of Tyson this week, as can Tyson is going to be on Talking Survivor on Rob as a podcast as well this week.
It's true.
It's true. So much to do here with Tyson. And then the side dish here for Tice-giving, the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Hey, guys. What kind of side dish am I? Am I stuffing or am I like yam, whatever the hell yam is?
Collard greens, I think.
What is a collard green? Is that like broccoli?
Good question.
No, I know. It's kind of like got the consistency of kale, but they kind of like cook it, but it's like a sloppy cook. I don't know.
First of all, what is with all of these foods that only come out during Thanksgiving? Where do they go the rest of the year?
If this is a saying that also pertains to that. If Christmas music were that good, we'd listen to it year round. And if Thanksgiving foods were that delicious, we'd eat them year round too.
Dude, that is a good quote, because Thanksgiving food is not that good.
Some of it is.
I feel like that's the what you say to really the kill pumpkin spice. When if it was that good, you'd have it all year. It would be a flavor the rest of the year.
I like pumpkin flavored stuff. I would eat pumpkin flavor year round.
Okay. Why don't you?
Why don't I? I do, but some places are so seasonal, you can't get it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I love pumpkin ice cream. I like pumpkin pie. Like, the two things at Thanksgiving dinner that I look forward to are stuffing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The thing is, we need to update our Thanksgiving meal, because it's stuck in, like, I don't know, the 1930s pre-microwave age or something. It's just all these strange dishes that nobody in their right mind would make today for people, like yam, collard greens. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what else is on that plate, but it's all very strange stuff.
Well, where do you stand on cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce? What the hell is cranberry sauce?
Get that canned garbage out of my face right now, Rob.
What, you only like the fresh stuff, Tyson?
No, I don't like either. Why are you mixing cranberry sauce with savory stuff? That's wrong. It's like mixing jam with I don't know, something salty.
And by the way, turkey is the worst meat out there.
No.
Unless it's sliced turkey or a sandwich, I am not a fan of turkey.
I like turkey.
I mean, it's dry most of the time. And then fry it, you risk killing everybody in your family.
Yeah. If you get a good piece of turkey, though, that's delicious.
Tyson, do you like the drumstick?
I'll eat the drumstick. Yeah, I'll eat any part of that turkey bird, dude.
Wow. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well,
not the dick.
is that the specialty in your family? Like everybody fights over it?
Yeah.
They try to pull it apart. Whoever gets the bigger end gets their wish fulfilled.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. Well, our top story at this hour concerns Thanksgiving dinner, but not the entree, not the main course, but the dessert, because there is a big Thanksgiving trend taking over in 2016. The hottest 2016 Thanksgiving dessert is the pie cake-in, Tyson.
Ah. A pie cake-in?
Yes, the pie cake-in.
Describe this to me while I close my eyes.
Okay. Imagine a delicious fruit-filled pie in the center of a cake.
Mm. So this is what I'm picturing. Grapefruit in a pumpkin pie inside of a carrot cake? No.
I don't think you have the grapefruit. I don't know where the grapefruit is coming from.
You said fruit-filled pie. Oh, like a cherry pie.
Right.
When you say pie, I mean, always just imagine pumpkin.
Technically, is pumpkin a fruit or is it a vegetable, Danny?
I'm going to go with vegetable.
Okay. Well, yes.
What about a legume?
You know what?
Maybe it's a legume.
This is exactly what I was asking for. This is Thanksgiving food 2.0.
Reinvented.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
I mean, it's an abomination. It appears to have come straight from the devil himself, because one slice of that will... I'm guessing takes 5 years off your life.
I'm not a fruit pie guy.
What kind of pie are you? Like a chocolate pie?
No, pumpkin pie, cream pies.
Well, it's also a cake.
No, wait. Let me add. I can't just say cream pie. banana cream pie, coconut cream pie, tropical fruit cream pie. Yeah, I'll eat
encyclopedia of pie.
Yeah, I'll eat an apple pie. But not a custard style, like the cinnamon and sugar with like the apple crumble style pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But generally, I forego the fruits for dessert.
Okay. So one of the most popular pie cake-ins is the chocolate cherry pie cake-in. It's a cherry pie inside a chocolate cake.
Mm. Mm. It looks like they've cut the crust of the earth open. And we're looking at all the strata of different, sedimentary rock and other limestone and formations. It's pretty intense.
You know who would like this pie?
Who?
People who buy cherry cordials at the grocery store checkout.
You mean like old ladies?
Old ladies, dude. This is the cherry cordial of pies. Are you kidding me? Or the cherry cordials of desserts?
You keep calling it a pie, but you have to remember it's a pie wrapped in a cake.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Cake pie-in? What's it called?
Pie cake-in.
Pie cake-in.
Pie cake-in.
Like turducken.
Turducken, yeah.
It sounds like an apocalyptic kind of term, pie cake-in. The pie cake-in has arrived.
Yes, our top story at this hour, the pie cake-in is getting closer. The end is nigh.
That's because it sounds like the Kraken.
Release the pie cake-in.
Yeah, release the pie cake-in as it rises from the oven. Yeah, there's
one. It busts out of the...
Will you be playing taps for your family on Thanksgiving morning?
Serve a pie cake in the night before.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, because someone in your family will die from eating this.
Yeah.
So you'll have
Tyson,
to have taps.
Would Rachel make a pie cake in for you?
I'm sure she would if I asked her to.
Wow.
She's a good wife.
No, my wife would not. She would say, I'm not making you a pie and then putting it inside a cake. Pick one.
See, my wife likes to experiment with stuff like that. So Rachel would be, if she hadn't done it before, I'd be like, hey, look at this. I bet you can't make that. And she's like, oh, I will. And I can.
Yeah.
And she'll spend all day doing it just to prove me wrong. And it'll probably be delicious.
They should call it the Franken cake.
Franken cake.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, Franken cake implies almost like you took like a bunch of different cakes and like
and
put them in together and then reanimated
stitching.
The cake and like rebaked it.
Yeah.
And then
that's
it attacked
true.
A
but
village.
I mean, Frankenstein was made from parts of all sorts of, animals, right?
And then, the Franken cake was misunderstood and the townspeople created a mob to kill it.
Actually, Frankenstein was the name of the doctor, not the monster.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Is what the name of the Frankenstein's monster was.
Mm-hmm. So this would be Frankenstein's cake.
Yes.
Yeah, Frankenstein's cake.
Well, what I'm saying is if it's the name of the doctor, then you could call it the Franken cake because some mad genius has put together this cake.
Mm-hmm. Al Franken.
Yeah, someone of that nature.
Yeah. I'm going to Snapchat my wife later. I'm going to ask her if she can make me the pie cake in this year and see what her response is.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I need to start like doing like secret snap, like hidden camera Snapchatting, asking my wife. Because I feel like that her being aware that I'm asking this question on video changes the response. I need to show people the actual answers that I'm getting. Mm.
Love Trump's cake.
Yeah. That's a different recipe. Yeah, so there's so many different pie cake-ins that are out there. This is one from the Food Network. This is a vanilla buttercream, which I'm imagining that it's a strawberry pie. I don't even understand what the pie is in this recipe that I'm looking at from the Food Network.
Yeah, everybody's got to get out there and cook these this year because... You know, by next year, the FBI will have classified it as like a dangerous substance.
Too much.
No. You think Michelle Obama will
be around? Do you think
she'll be around?
Yeah, she won't be around to protect us from this cake.
Yeah. Oh, see, that this is like almost like three different layers of that. No, Michelle Obama, I would think, is staunchly against the pie cake in, but we don't know what the new administration, what their feeling is on pie cake in.
Yeah.
If only we could get in there and ask. Yeah. These are the questions. America
I know what it is. I bet Trump on his platform was like, we're pro pie cake in. We're not going to set any regulations. And now he's like, we have to set heavy regulations on the pie cake in.
No, he's anti-regulation.
Maybe we could start the pie cake and challenge. Like someone tries to eat a pie cake in within an hour.
We'll see.
And then you challenge 10 of your friends.
Send us your videos. We want to interview you if you can do it.
And then make sure to challenge people on social media and we'll be raising awareness for the pie cake in itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some reaction from the people watching in the Group AF Facebook group. Joseph Mercado says pumpkins are in the gourd family. That sounds healthy enough to counteract all of the sugar in the pie cake in. Hashtag science.
Gourd.
Yes. Yes.
The gourd, though, that doesn't sound like a great word.
Yeah.
Meeting a big old gourd.
It's good to have a scientist weigh in, though.
Put that girthy gourd in my mouth.
I don't know if he's a scientist. I think that he might just be.
Well, let's just say he said hashtag science.
Yeah. He's probably a scientist.
Yeah. And also, Ben King suggests using ice cream cake, taking this thing to the next level.
Oh, my goodness.
That is...
Are you
that man
kidding
metal.
Me? Okay, what's the best pie to use? Like a chocolate mudslide pie, dude? And then any type of ice cream cake, like pralines and caramel, moose tracks. What are some other good ones?
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I just like the Oreo one.
Oreo pie or Oreo ice cream cake?
The Oreo ice cream cake.
And then with no pie in the middle.
No, a chocolate pie.
I mean, don't even know what we're creating now. It's gotten so out of hand. Are we talking about... Tyson, explain to me your vision here with the ice cream.
So what you have is you have a chocolate cream pie.
Okay.
And then built around it, an ice cream cake of any, whatever flavor you want, because almost every flavor goes with chocolate cream pie.
Okay. Yeah.
You're in?
That's pretty good. I'd eat that. I'd try it. Get Rachel to build that.
Okay.
Okay.
What would be the perfect Thanksgiving themed pie cake? And you want a pumpkin pie, but what would be the right cake?
What would be the right cake for like an ice cream cake or a regular cake?
Well, I think you want a regular cake to put the pumpkin pie inside.
Okay. German chocolate?
German chocolate cake and then pumpkin pie?
Sure.
Okay.
Pumpkin and chocolate probably go together.
We'll go with it.
Or maybe like a cinnamony flavor.
Yeah, I think a cinnamony thing would be better.
Cinnamon type thing. All right, so let us know if you guys have any pie cake in this year. We want to hear about it. Okay, so another thing that could be on your Thanksgiving table is cheese. And a recent study sent to us by Lala, one of our listeners, Lala Wong, suggests that eating cheese could potentially be beneficial in living longer. The study found that a compound called, wait for it, spermidine is found in aged cheeses, and that can help reduce heart failure and other cardiovascular disease. Danny, do you eat a lot of cheese? Do you have a lot of spermidine in your diet?
The question is, how much spermidine am I consuming on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm. I can take a wild guess.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Spermidine. Come on. Couldn't we come up with a better name?
No, that's because back then science was science and people didn't laugh, you know, when they came up with the word.
They weren't
thinking in the future. They weren't like, in the future, adult males are going to think this is hilarious. Mm-hmm. They were like, it's science and nobody is going to laugh because it's serious.
Because at our age, 100 years ago, we were grandparents and on the verge of dying with no teeth.
Yeah.
No, so, not 100 years ago, 200 years
ago. Here's the thing, dude. This is obese people sitting around making excuses for why they can eat unhealthy stuff, because I bet spermidine can be found in other stuff that's actually healthier for you.
Like sperm. Like Mrs. Kiss told us.
No, we don't know. We don't know if that's true, Danny.
Well, Miss Kiss from 2 weeks ago, the British health blogger.
Yes. Yeah, but is sperm and spermidine the same things?
I don't think it is. I think it just starts.
Well, then that's not right. If you're going to share a name, then you got to have some of the same qualities.
Yes. Well, it could have the same qualities.
Okay, that's all. That supports what I'm saying.
Maybe the same shaped cell or something, but it doesn't mean they're exactly the same nutritionally.
Okay. By the way, what if this is just fondue lovers?
Could be.
That's what I'm saying. They're finding a healthy thing. There's lots of unhealthy things about cheese.
All right, so here's the answer from Wikipedia, and this is going to get to the bottom of this. Spermidine is a polyamine compound found in ribosomes and living tissues, having various metabolic functions within organisms. It was originally isolated from semen.
There we go.
So who's right? I think that I
you are.
Degree
You're more
sperm.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a complex
degree.
Compound found in nature. Fair
so
to
get
say?
Get chugging.
Okay. No.
Yeah, you're talking about chugging cheese, right?
Chugging cheese.
In the survey, 800 Italians were asked about their diets, and those who reported a higher intake of spermidine were found to have lower blood pressure, a 40% lower risk of heart failure, and a reduced risk for cardiovascular disease.
But not necessarily cheese. They were ingesting spermidine in some form. If you ask somebody on the street if they're eating spermidine, they're not going to think cheese. They're not going to be like, I've been eating a ton of cheese.
The study was about cheese. Now, the problem is that the medical benefits of spermidine are counteracted by the high fat content in the cheese, the study found, Danny.
Mm. There we go.
Well,
and therein lies the rub.
So
is
ideally,
that proper use of that saying?
Yeah, this compound would be good if you could somehow get it not with the fat content of cheese.
So you're saying like find another spermidinial product.
Yeah.
Right.
Without any fat.
That doesn't have
it.
The fat content.
I think Tyson knows of a place where you can get that.
Now, scientists also said that spermidine can be found.
Truck stop bathrooms.
It also can be found in peas, corn, soybeans, and other whole grains.
Oh my God, dude. Are you kidding me? I already predicted this before you read that.
How did you know?
Because that's how it always is. Like somebody's like, oh, you know what's healthy for you? Chocolate, because it has flavonoids. And then you're like, well, let me do some research on that. Oh, there's actually healthy foods that have flavonoids and more flavonoids in them than scarfing down this chocolate, like everybody says. It's these obese scientists that are just looking for a way out.
Obese scientists.
They're the ones that figure out this shit and then they like try to sell it to the world. But then you don't read the fine print that's like you'll die way earlier because of all the bad stuff. But it does have one healthy thing. We've dug and found a healthy thing in our bad food.
Okay.
Tyson's got it out for the obese scientist.
the obese scientific community.
You thought they were geniuses when they came up with pie cake and now you're really slamming these guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
How much spermidine's in a pie cakin?
It depends on what. If it's a cream pie, probably
cheesecake.
About a bunch.
With cheesecake pie cakin?
A cheesecake pie cakin?
Cherry pie than you can handle. Inside a cheesecake.
I think probably a cream pie inside of a.
easy. Let's talk about another story. This one.
Change of subject.
Sent to us by Emily Reed. Talks about how McDonald's. once had table service, is now looking to expand table service to all U.S. locations. It's been testing in over 500 locations early next year. It will be available in most major U.S. cities. The CEO of McDonald's is saying this is to make the experience more fun. And apparently when one visits the restaurants, the initial stages of ordering could be quite stressful. So they're trying to make it more convenient. Danny, are you into getting the table service?
Dude, when I walk up to a register at McDonald's and I look at that menu, I am just sweating. It's hard. It's just so hard.
Yeah.
So this will be nice. This will make it easier for me.
Yeah.
I used to have a strict rule, Rob, probably about 10 years ago, where I would not dine anywhere I had to wait in line to order.
Wow.
I would only go to seated. And that's true.
That's so bougie, like, Tyson. Hey,
let's go here. And I was like, no, because I hated that moment. Like, to go in and just sit down and plop your ass somewhere and just like make someone do all this stuff for you. Mm-hmm. That's more my speed, you know?
But isn't the idea of McDonald's fast food, isn't that a different restaurant to go and sit down and get McDonald's? It can still be fast.
Completely different model.
I think it can still be fast.
Can they have both? Can they have both? Can you still go to the counter and then also sit down?
Here's what you do. If you're going to dine in, they have the drive-thru. So you already have the drive-thru. If you're going to dine in, you go to a table. The menus are the tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
So you never have to bring out the menus and stuff. They're just right there in front of you. You can order immediately if
touch
you know
screen,
what you want.
Or it's that's actually like it's painted onto the table.
It's painted onto the table. Touch screen is that's too greasy.
In a place like McDonald's.
Yeah. A lot of technology just slows the process down.
Okay.
Like because you get all these people in here that don't know what they're doing. So it's not touch screen.
Okay.
You go in, you order real quick. It's as fast or faster.
So when I walk in, do I go sit at the table or I go to the counter and then go put my order in? Because I think that the part that's the most stressful is standing there waiting for them to call your number.
Yeah. Awkwardly looking at everybody else, thinking they might steal your food. You're like,
right.
That guy.
Somebody's just yelling, 92!
Yeah. Oh,
92!
You got to fight to get it when it shows up. And then that is kind of horrible.
That part's not good.
Man.
I don't mind going to the counter and telling them what I want.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's all, but imagine going to the counter and you have the old lady in front of you who's like, huh, well, what's good?
Do you accept checks?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all of this, dude. And you're just like, I know exactly what I want. I can tell them they have it under the heat lamp right now. I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to wait 20 minutes because this lady in front has to go over the entire menu just because she's lonely and needs somebody to talk to.
Do you think that maybe this is because customers are revolting having to stand for so long? They're like, dude, I just got it out of my car and I want to be seated as quickly as possible. I don't want to stand around. That just hurts my feet.
No, I think they tested it and I think it is quicker. On average, I think it's quicker.
Okay.
Yeah. You get in line behind one of these slow pokes, and that's 10 people who know what they want.
But still, Tyson, that you're going to still be behind that person in terms of ordering unless the waiter is coming to your table to get your order.
Well, no, not necessarily, because if the waiter is like, hey, what do you want? And they're like, I don't know. And you're like, okay, we'll give you 10 minutes and go on.
Mm-hmm.
If they operate like a regular restaurant.
No one's talking about the poor employees that now have to go out and interact with customers and deliver their stuff and... That just sounds like more work for probably some of the lowest paid people in America.
I mean, but it's still a job. Like, I don't think we should necessarily take, responsibilities away from people. You got to, keep McDonald's in business.
Yeah. Do you think that they're just kind of giving the employee something to do as the robots slowly slip in and take over all the other work?
Well, yeah. I mean, if the job is just so easy, you just stand there, then it's easy to be replaced by a robot. You got to be able to show you can do more things than just like some, robot come lately.
Yeah. So the robot's going to come in, but people still want to receive their food from a human
person.
So
right.
That's kind of what they're prepping everybody for. It's like, all right, well, we get the humans out there on the floor. We got the robots in the back,
behind the scenes,
kind
cooking,
of behind the curtain. Right. Yeah.
So I think that's probably a lot better. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be sitting there at McDonald's trying to, can I get my check? Can I get my check at McDonald's, please? Like, I think come in, order, I'll pay, and then go sit down and then bring in the food.
So you like the old system?
No, that's fine.
Oh, except for you take a number and they deliver it to your table.
Right, right. I'll be sitting over there and then somebody could come out and bring me the food. And then that that's fine. But I feel like if we're going to sit there and then look at a menu in McDonald's and then I got to wait for some waiter to come over, not good.
What about this, Rob?
What?
What if they had the pay station at the table so you could slide your card and do it yourself anytime you wanted after you ordered your meal?
How do they stop people from just leaving?
Just like every other restaurant. There's cameras and they stick the police on you when you leave and don't
pay. They'll chase you? Yeah, I mean, I guess if I could pay myself at the counter. I never know at McDonald's if I'm supposed to like give them my card, or I feel so stupid where you go to hand your card to them and they're like, yes. Oh, there's a thing right there.
Oh my gosh. And let's all, by the way, while we're griping about that, let's talk about this whole chip disaster. Do I put my card in that stupid machine, or is that stupid chip reader not working?
Or do I swipe it, or do I took it?
We need to come to an agreement, because how many times have I gone to put it in? They're like, oh yeah, our chip reader doesn't work yet.
Yeah. It's like all the time.
Come on. Yeah. Why is it this part of the political platform? I will get chip service up and running.
It's terrible.
The chip is more secure, but I think it costs, it might cost those places more, or they just have, I don't know what it is. Some of them say it's slower.
Mm-hmm. No, it's terrible. Terrible. Hate the insert the chip. And I'll tell you what, I have a card from Bank of America with a chip on it. And then when I go to make a transaction at Bank of America, you swipe it. They don't even have their chip thing
ready. I don't know what's going on. Nobody seems to know what's going on. It's too much. And I totally agree with Rob, because every time I go to McDonald's, like I go to hand them, and then they point out in the rudest way possible that you swipe it.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, I don't do that. You do
it.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
I always make a huge thing of it. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm an idiot here.
But
like,
here it's going to be kiosks. It's going to be a kiosk that you go up to, you plug in your order, and then you go sit down and they bring it to you. So now you won't have that awkward exchange about swipe, no swipe, because you're going to just swipe it and then go sit down.
I came up with the perfect system.
What is it?
Each table has its own swiper. You order, the waiter plugs your food into that thing right there, and you pay before you get your food. That way they know that you're not going to run off without paying, and then they bring your food out.
Hmm. In the future, McDonald's will have a scanner that will just scan my tummy for just an idea of what I want. Then I'll just go sit down.
Yeah, it'll scan your blood to decide what nutrients you need from McDonald's, and then it will optimize the menu for your nutritional maximization.
Yeah, perfect. Probably.
Perfect. Ben King wants to know, do I tip my server at McDonald's now?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole new element that, you always tip.
You got to tip McDonald's too.
Yeah.
Boy.
I tipped a lady at Noodles and Company the other day.
How'd that go?
I put money in the jar by the register. But the jar was for Christmas candies. It was just empty. So I put money in there. I was like, is that for tips? And she's like, no, that's for candy. I was like, oh, I don't have any candy to give you. She's like, no, that's. And I was like, oh, no, I get it. But
you put money in an empty jar?
Yeah, it was right next to the cash register, dude.
Now they're going to repurpose that candy jar for tips, and now it's just another place I have to have that awkward stare down where it's like, oh, you gave me some spare change.
But Noodles and Co.
in the tip?
Noodles and Company, they clean up your mess after you leave, so you should leave a couple bucks anyways.
What if you don't make a mess?
They pick up your dishes and stuff.
What if them picking up your dishes is included in the wage they already get?
Yeah.
I'm sure that it is, but it's nice to let those people know that you appreciate it.
Did you tip your mom when she cleaned up your dishes for Sunday dinner?
Oh!
Well, I'm letting her spend time with Bergen as we speak. So, yeah.
Oh, what a good sign.
Well, how about this? That I went to someplace and then I got the check and it said, oh, the gratuity was already included in this. Do I have to leave a tip on top of that?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Fine.
You don't. Anytime, this is my rule on that. Anytime gratuity is automatically included, I never leave extra because I'm teaching them a lesson. Because they're your party's over 8, so we automatically take 18%. And I was like, I would have left you 25, suckers.
Yeah.
Yep. So, joke's on you.
Yeah, joke's on you. Automatic gratuity.
All right, before we get into our next story, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Because if you're hiring, do you know where the best place to post a job to find the best candidates is, Tyson?
Yep, I do.
Yes. Where is it? Let me test you.
It's ZipRecruiter.
Yeah. Because posting your job in just one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find a perfect hire, not just an okay hire, perfect hire, post your job on all the top job sites with ZipRecruiter.com, because you could post your job to 100 plus job sites. I mean, that's a lot of job sites.
It's almost too many.
No, you can't have enough, because there's social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once, watch the qualified candidates roll in with ZipRecruiter's easy to use interface. You could just be sitting back in the break room enjoying some pie caking as the candidates just come in one after the next.
Wow. It sounds like it's the premier recruitment website.
It is. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen the candidates, rate them, hire the right person fast. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time to try for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. All right, well, let's get into some of our Canadian news. We got a couple of stories from the Great White North. And Linda Atkin McCullough sent us a story about another massive Canadian heist.
My goodness.
People These have Canadians, uncovered a $50,000 baby formula heist stolen from Vancouver stores, where they suspect the suspect was planning to ship the formula overseas. After receiving a tip that a man was stealing formula and selling it to China, police launched Investigation Lactose Intolerant. That was the name of the mission, to catch the suspect, who has been apprehended and is now in police custody.
Do they use the baby formula to like cut it with cocaine or some other kind of drug? Why is it so valuable in Asia?
And stuff it in.
Maybe they mix it with some rhino horn for erectile dysfunction medicine.
Stuff it into teddy bears and then make teenage girls get it across customs.
Mm. Wait, why?
Yeah,
to get the baby formula in?
Why not?
So that's how they were going to sneak it into China, or that's how they were going to bring it back after they had mixed it with some elephant tusk?
Oh, so you're saying they're going to send regular baby formula over with all the canisters.
And then they're going to cut it with some kind of drug over in China, because that's with pink or whatever the new drug is, and then send it back to the U.S.
So what's going on here is that in Asia, the tubs of baby formula sell for $80 to $90, where they have a value of $33 in Canada.
And then how much is it to ship all that crap over there?
Well,
I think in bulk, you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But here's the other thing. Babies get screened. Well, if you were thinking of cutting it with drugs and stuff like your original plan, Danny, babies get screened more than anybody at the airports. I've never been able to get through the airport with Bergen without getting my hand swiped, getting her bottle swiped, getting the formula tested. It's crazy.
Feeding her through the X-ray machine.
Yeah, you have to put her through the X-ray machine like two or three times.
Yeah. I think they're just hoping that the baby doesn't get on the plane.
Yeah.
It's like a customer service to the rest of the passengers.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, we got a baby in security line. Let's keep slow her down, Bill.
Let's keep her in line as long as possible.
Put him through the ringer. Maybe they won't get on the plane.
That could be.
What do you think of the name of this operation? Operation or Project Lactose Intolerant.
I love it.
Too cute, or you like it?
I like it. I mean, it's Canada's a cute country. And for them to do anything that's not cute would just be out of, you know, it wouldn't be Canada.
Yeah, but here's a problem with that name. I would hate to write it on all the forms required in an investigation of this type.
L-I.
That's pretty long. P-L-I?
L-I. P-L-I. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe if they're allowed to do that. But I mean, it's a really long name.
All right. Well, we've talked about so many other Canadian heists.
How about Mother's Milk?
Mother's Milk. That's good. Can we come up with catchy names?
Red Hot Chili Peppers would probably be pissed if you took Mother's Milk as the... They'd sue you.
They'd sue Canada.
Yeah.
They'd be pissed.
They would be pissed. What about, for short, it could be Project Lack-In.
Lack-In.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really describe what the project is.
Lactose intolerance.
Mm. Well, I know, but to those who aren't in the know, they would be like, what
it's
is
better.
Lack-in?
It's a secret thing. Because you never know if it's an inside job. Maybe you're like Project Lack-In, and the guy who's actually spearheading the whole thing works in whatever the Canadian FBI is. And they don't know that. And he doesn't know that they're onto him. And it's a whole movie, dude.
Yeah. Project Human Cow.
Yeah. You know, because lactose intolerant, it's cute, but it doesn't really speak to what's going on here. I mean, that the baby formula is being stolen. There's no real sense of that we're cracking down on lactose. Like, yeah, we're theft intolerant, not necessarily lactose intolerant. If anything, it should be operation stealing formula from a baby. Taking formula from a baby.
Yes, there you go. That's good.
Yeah.
Taking formula.
Just like formula taking from formula from a baby.
Like they thought it would be so easy. But no. No, it will not. So,
Well, we'll come up with a better name.
Yeah, if there are other Canadian heists that we've talked about on the show, like the Great Syrup Heist, can we come up with a name for that operation to find the syrup thieves?
Well, I mean, it's got to involve the word sticky.
Yes, Operation Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers, you're going to get the Rolling Stones on you. Oh, that one.
Yeah, they're going to get real mad. Anything clever is taken already as an album name by a classic artist.
Yeah.
What about, there were also, the Nut Thieves? Was that in Canada?
The Nut Thieves was in California.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
the Nut Bust. That's for when they arrest them.
And they've got that Clown Posse or somebody doesn't have a Nut Bust album?
Probably.
Oh, probably. That one's probably taken by someone like Slayer or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. So instead of...
Sounds too sexy for Slayer.
Instead of talking about American politics, where we very easily could have done 20 minutes on Trump Cup this week, I thought it might be better to stick with Canadian politics because there's a big controversy going on in Canada over a certain word that was used in Parliament as a woman was speaking on the floor of Canadian Parliament and used the word fart. There is a bit of an uproar over this where the context of this was she said that why does the government treat Alberta like a fart in the room that nobody wants to talk about or acknowledge?
And that perked everyone all up. They were like, "Ooh, she said fart." That's not
a great technique on her part.
Yeah.
Now everybody's talking about farting in Alberta.
It really drove the point home. The thing is they're under the Commonwealth. They're part of the Commonwealth, and that is not Queen's English.
No.
She wouldn't say fart.
Yes.
You think Queen Elizabeth is up there saying fart?
She'd say something like breaking wind, passing gas.
Yeah,
toot.
Breaking wind, probably more, but in a British, an old woman British accent.
Broken wind.
Yeah, Danny, do your old woman British accent.
Oh dear, I seem to have broken wind. Do you smell that, Philip? I sure wish I hadn't had all that Indian food last night. I don't know what kind of accent that is, but you get the idea.
Yeah, we get it.
So this created a whole uproar as the woman, Elizabeth May, was the woman who said it. I'm getting all of my Canadian politicians confused. Michelle Rempel was the person who said it. And then Elizabeth May called her out and said, I heard her say a word I know is distinctly unparliamentary. I think she may want to withdraw it. And then
withdraw it. Can you withdraw words? Can you do they have like a time machine or how do you withdraw?
Are they wearing wigs in this place? Like,
And she spelled it out. She said the word was F-A-R-T.
Oh, my gosh.
And she then, the woman, Michelle Rempel, said, hey, I'm giving you an impassioned speech about supporting Alberta jobs, and I will not withdraw it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she refused to withdraw even after the woman gave her an opportunity to withdraw.
She supplied it and then refused to deny it.
Wow. She has her convictions.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't think fart is such a bad word.
No, you think that's fine?
Maybe we're desensitized down here in the, what do they call it? The, does Canada call us the deep, dirty South?
Yeah, probably the South. I mean, look at the language we use.
The Great White North.
I mean, Trump's going to break all the rules as far as what's parliamentary for us in Congress, at least congressmentally. I don't know how to phrase it.
Yeah. They used to have that guy that was the mayor of Toronto. I feel like he
He was like doing Rob cocaine Ford. Off prostitutes or something.
Yeah.
You would have thought he'd broken down some taboos.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know necessarily how this would be received if this was like sort of like on the floor of Congress, where if somebody was like, hey, stop talking about Florida, like somebody farted and then walked away from it around here. We're trying to get jobs down here in Florida. I do wonder.
Once Trump uses talks about the size of his dong in his inaugural speech, then
all bets are off.
Hey, I just want to say, while I've got all of your attention, my thing is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I have small hands.
So we'll see. I mean, that was in a debate. I believe he said that, believe him, there's no problem, I believe was the quote.
Believe me, there's
no
problem.
Well, they're saying there's a double standard because their prime minister used the F word, a different F word.
When?
Not F-A-R-T, but F-U-C-K-I-N-G.
Yes.
He did it before becoming prime minister, right? But still, is that the kind of
language? Like when he was in college?
No, in 2015, so right before he became prime minister. During a speech.
Okay.
I feel like, I think during a speech, especially for shock value, if you really need to drive a point home and perk people's ears up a little bit, sometimes that can get the job done.
Okay. Here's the thing. What's more embarrassing, saying the word fart or spelling it out? Which one shows that you're
spelling
more
it out is definitely more embarrassing.
She said
than hilarious.
She used the word F-A-R-T.
But she was doing that just to prove her point that it was such an unparliamentary word to use.
She wouldn't even dare.
Yeah, not even in
herself.
Quotes. You remember when you were a kid and you could swear as long as you're like, use it in quotes, it's not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you just walk around and be like, quote, shit, unquote. not bad.
You found a loophole.
I was quoting a person that was, there was a loophole.
I say that it's fine. I think that probably being outraged about things that are not that outrageous, I think that's probably doesn't change anybody's mind. There's no kids watching whatever the Canadian C-SPAN is that they're going to pick up or learn a bad word. It's not like, my 3-year-old was watching Canadian Congress on TV and now he learned how to say fart. Yeah.
We told him to only say toot. And he would have eventually learned fart and realized that toot was a childish word. But he now, it wasn't up to us when he started using the word fart. It was up to this woman. And his life is
so
ruined.
So my kid always uses the word wiener. And I'm like, can't use that word. And so the other day he was talking about, so I don't know, because his grandparents don't want to hear it. So the other day he goes, I got punched in my wiener. And they look at me and go, sorry, Dad, I mean nuts. So he thought nuts was an improvement. Where did he even hear that?
Who is this, Beck or Ollie?
No, Ollie.
Oh, that's so great.
Who told you that was a better phrase?
The best phrase.
It's just weird.
The best phrase for that is weenie.
Weenie.
Yeah, it's so funny. And even as an adult to just be like, ow, my weenie. That's hilarious.
Okay. Let's talk about another story sent to us by Carrie Reese about a man in Los Angeles suing Krispy Kreme over false advertising regarding the ingredients in his donuts. The man is seeking a class action lawsuit for $5 million in damages because the raspberry-filled maple bar and glazed blueberry donuts do not contain real fruit or maple.
Duh.
All right. I've learned something from this podcast in the past year. Never start a business and never make
just
it.
Just stop
do,
it right there.
Never
just
make
stop
it big.
Right there. Never start a business.
Because it's like all you do when you become a big business is attract lawsuits from people who are like pushing crates of toilet paper down on themselves or slipping on coffee they put on the floor themselves.
Right.
Or screaming about the cups or screaming about the ingredients or the ice. It's like never ending.
Right.
How much do these people spend on legal counsel a year?
I don't know. Well, I think there's people that take up the cases, but the same entrepreneurial spirit that causes some people to go out there and start a business also causes some people to sit home and say, boy, how can I make money off of this other business? Like, oh, the donut. There's no blueberry.
Yeah, like this guy, I mean, he did probably a little bit of research and then decided to file the paperwork. You're right. He probably just had, he got that law degree that now has zero value in society because so many people have them. And he's like, I got to do something with this degree.
Yeah.
And I passed the bar. I might as well sue somebody. I go to Krispy Kreme.
I'd already win this as Krispy Kreme's representative because he's saying because they state that they use the finest ingredients, but those ingredients are not present. But my argument would be like, that's because those ingredients are not the finest ingredients. You really think a blueberry is more delicious than a sugary blueberry substitute? No.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I see what you're saying, Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Do you think that this person would settle for some sort of Krispy Kreme gift card, Tyson?
Yeah, definitely.
Or would he settle for some of that Krispy Kreme soda?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that probably what we have to do is make this guy a donut using real blueberries and see if it's better.
And then he tastes it and he's like, okay, you guys were right in the first place.
Like, oh, this is terrible. This is fruit? Real fruit? Oh, yuck.
Yeah. Ugh, I've never had real fruit before.
Please,
I've always
go
just
back
eaten
to the sugar.
Yeah.
Go back to the corn syrup.
The donuts are made with nutritionally inferior ingredients. He is complaining about nutritional inferiority.
Right.
I mean, he's eating a donut.
A Krispy Kreme donut, no less.
Yeah,
but
it's
I bet he put a
Krispy Kreme donut and my blood slows down and like my heart starts to beat harder.
His wife was just like, you need to eat healthier. And he's like, I'm eating fruit every day, honey. I have fruit for breakfast. I have fruit for lunch. And sometimes in between lunch and dinner, I have another serving of fruit.
Yeah. Maybe he found that there's no spermidine in these Krispy Kreme donuts like he thought there was.
Oh, I bet the CEO of Krispy Kreme would give him a whole load of spermidine to shut up.
Maybe he'll ask for that in his, I'd also like a gallon of spermidine to dip my blueberry sugar bits into.
If it's healthy, you can find it in all sorts of other foods as well, not just donuts.
Yeah, not just donuts.
Yeah. This is a story about a man in California arrested this week for driving around blowing an air horn extremely loudly early in the morning, disturbing the neighborhood. And so, first off, what possesses somebody to go drive around their neighborhood with an air horn?
I know.
Well, look at the picture, first of all. I think we know what possesses it.
Yeah, the guy has an amazing mugshot.
Drugs? You think it's drugs, Danny? Because I was actually going to say, without looking at the mugshot, I've seen the mugshot, but if you weren't taking the mugshot into account, it could just be HOA, typical HOA BS, you know? And he's nope, I'm not going to stand for it. I'm rallying against the HOA.
Yeah.
I think he looks like he's got a cheerful disposition. He just wants people to wake up to see the sunrise.
Can you describe the mugshot of, first, can you describe the look of the man?
He's stoked.
Okay. He seems to be excited that someone's finally taking his picture. He has a beard that looks almost as sparse as the hair on his head.
Right.
It's very strange. Like, he should reconsider that beard.
Like, his
only
cheeks
grows
are balding.
A chin strap.
Yeah.
Yeah. His cheeks and chin are balding, but his under chin area is very full.
Right. His head almost looks the same if you looked at it upside down or regular.
Yeah. It's amazing. But he's happy with what he's got, and he's so stoked that someone's finally talking to him. All he wanted was attention. He lives alone. He spends so much time alone. He's blown the air horn just so someone would talk to him. And now the police are talking to him. Dream come true.
Yes. I guess that is probably the most desperate plea for attention of just driving around with it.
I think he just wanted to get like a mugshot. He was just like, I want to show people that I'm a badass. But then he was like, actually, I'm just going to make a huge joke of the whole legal system. And it is kind of funny to get arrested for that. I feel like when you go in for a mugshot, you have to like look stoked on it because you get all those mugshots where you're like, bleh, especially like, oh, Tyson from Survivor mugshot. And you're like, I look like Nick Nolte. No, you don't want that. You want to be like, shakas.
Yeah.
I think that what's more annoying, this guy with his air horn or some guy on a Harley.
Yeah, that's fair.
Morning.
Well, you've seen the South Park, the real F word.
Yeah, that's why, that's what made me think of this, is I would rather have this guy with his air horn.
Well, my question is, how fast was he going? Was he going 5 miles an hour or was he going 50 miles an hour?
Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
It doesn't say.
Because if he's going 50 miles an hour, it's just like,
why wasn't he just honking his normal horn?
This is a good question. Huh. I don't know why he needed to outfit his 2006 Chevrolet Aveo with an air horn.
Probably because he had blown his horn out in other neighborhoods, and now he was resorting to an air horn because his horn no longer worked from a lifetime from, 10 years of horn honking, continuous horn honking, finally blew out his Aveo's horn.
We've never had that happen before where a horn blew out from overuse.
But it's crazy that this guy that they're not talking about, he wasn't drunk, he wasn't on crystal meth or flocka or anything like that. They're just saying, nope, that they were just disturbing the peace.
Sounds like a guy I would hang out with. And looks like a guy I would probably hang out with.
I was going to say, some of your friends might turn into this guy in another 10 years.
Yeah.
John W. Nugent is his name.
Okay. I'll look him up on Facebook and friend him.
LinkedIn, maybe.
Please do. I think that this is a cry for help, Tyson.
Yeah.
He'd really be doing a lot if you just would help him.
One other driving story that a lot of people sent this to us about: drivers in China have started employing a creative method to prevent drivers from driving behind them with their high beams on. I don't know that that's that big of a problem, but people are very upset about it. So they've put incredibly creepy decals on their rear windows, which get lit up when people shine a very bright light on them. And so is that what we want to be doing? Do we want to be creeping out other drivers, Danny?
This will have the complete opposite effect.
In the country, in the U.S. In China, they're so superstitious that they're like, ghost in that car. But here, they'll be like, I'm going to follow him around with my brights on because I want to see that thing. It's awesome.
Oh, I got to Snapchat that. Hold on. Let me get up right behind that guy.
Yeah, I got to get up real close.
The last one is the only one that makes sense.
Yes.
And still, it's going to elicit a lot of high beams because it says turn off your effing high, F-U-C-K-I-N-G, high beam.
All right. So, yeah, people are doing that. And they have like really creepy things like the Ring and like different ghosts. So I don't know.
Well, and the other thing is, aren't you going to get cops called on you all the time? Because it looks like you have a bunch of underage girls trapped in the back of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Also, that despite the ingenuity, police are concerned that they're causing accidents and are enforcing a $15 fine for use of the decals. But Tyson, has this even been a problem ever for you that somebody's driving behind you with high beams on?
Not very often. I mean, only in rare cases of road rage.
Oh, and that's what they do just to like mess with you? They turn them on to blind you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got to be honest, when it does happen to me, my blood pressure goes through the roof.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
And then I just can't wait for them to get in front of me so I can turn my high beams on.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Medicine.
What, you guys are getting in like fights with people on the road and they're turning their high beams on
sometimes they have their high beams on
by accident.
Or trucks that are jacked up super high. They seem like they always have their high beams on. But here's what I do. If we're at a stop sign or a stoplight and it's like that, I can usually adjust my rear view mirrors to reflect their high beams back into their face.
Oh,
so I'll sit there and mess with my,
And by the way, Rob, before I engage in any situation that might result in road rage, I check my gas meter and make sure that I can drive for hundreds of miles. Because my theory is that the guy will give up, or at least he'll calm down if I drive for 4 to 5 hours.
A lot of times I'll call Danny and I'm like, where are you? And he's like in the middle of a road rage thing. I'm about 3.5 hours from home.
Yeah.
Or I'll just give him a place where he can murder me with no witnesses if that strategy doesn't work out.
If he catches you, to the victor goes to the spoils.
Yeah. My favorite technique is the long honk.
The long honk.
Yeah.
Like the guy with the air horn
technique.
So the air horn, like a guy will cut you off or something and you'll just long honk them for like 2 minutes and just butt behind them and they get really mad. I had a dude cut me off so hard with two ATVs on his trailer.
Yeah.
And I did the long honk and he brought his truck and trailer to a complete stop in the middle of a four-lane road every time I honk. So I'd honk, and I'd let go of the honker when he'd come to a full stop, and he'd start driving again, and I'd honk again, and he'd come to a full stop. And I was like, what's he going to do? Get out in the middle of traffic?
Did you go into a full stop too?
Yeah, I was going because I was right behind him.
Yeah.
So then, but all I would have done is if he got out and came to my car, I would have just gone around to the other side and driven away.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think the perfect answer to my road rage dilemma is I just want the Spy Hunter car.
Yeah.
Remember Spy Hunter, the video game? You could shoot out the oil slick. You could put up a smoke screen. I mean, that's really what I need. So when that guy's got his brights on, I just hit that switch and he just
oil slick.
Yeah. Oil slick that guy.
Yeah.
Or I just hit him with a bunch of spermicide or whatever it is that covers
spermicidal lube. It's not spermicidal lube.
No. Spermidine. No, what is that? Spermidine. And it's good for you. You shouldn't waste it, Danny.
Yeah. Well, then it's
but he'd stop and start slurping it up. And then that would give you the opportunity to...
He'd turn on his windshield wipers with a cup right there on the corner. So then the windshield wipers push it to the corner.
He wouldn't waste it.
He's like, oh, thank you.
Make a smoothie. That's right. All right.
Yeah.
So great stuff. Lots of interesting news happening in the world. So many different things to talk about. If you guys have News AF, if you see News AF happening, send it in. Send it our way. tips@newsaf.news. Or you could leave it in our Group AF Facebook group. Just search for Group AF. Only real news only. Do not give us any of this Facebook fake news.
We're reporting real news before it was cool. Now everybody's jumping on this real news bandwagon. That pisses me off. We should sue all these companies that are still in our format.
We should have named our album Fake News, and then we could have.
That's true. Oh, that would have been perfect.
You know, Rob, I just barely jumped back onto the Google Hangouts, and I forgot about your hat.
Yes.
And I was kind of shocked to see you wearing that hat.
It's a great hat.
Yeah, so... Well, the problem is that we do this show so early in the morning over here. You know, we record at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And, you know, I try to stress the importance to my family every day. Hey, I have to start podcasting today. Nobody seems to have any concern about me actually working around here. And so, yeah, I only get to, start working, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes before we start this show. And so I was torn between like looking like, you know, I try to fake you guys out and make you think I took a shower. Sometimes it doesn't work. And I saw that Danny and Tyson were like, hey, why don't you wear hats like we do? I said, well, I have a Bud Light visor I could have worn, but that wasn't too good. And I have this Tundra hat. But I don't
know. It's a weird selection of hats.
Yeah, really I thought it might be, well, you know, you could wear many hats, but you only have one head, Danny.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
a great
that
saying.
My next Instagram post.
Yes. And then I had this hat, which I don't know what you would call this hat, but it's a hat I wore on Survivor Survivor All-Stars in immaculate shape.
I would say a crushable Western hat.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Oh,
exactly.
There you go. I would call that the Gold Miner's Delight hat. You fold
the
it up
Gold Miner's
part.
Delight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I'm going to say
Miner's
that
Delight.
For if I go visit Westworld, I'm going to wear this.
Or if
hat.
You pan for gold.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That's a good panning right. for gold hat.
So great stuff all the way around. What's the hashtag this week? Do we have anything?
Probably.
Don't make it be hashtag Spermidine.
Okay. Do
eight
not.
Servings of Spermidine
no,
a day.
No,
keeps
no, no,
the
no.
doctor away.
Do not do any Spermidine related posts. Do not.
Do not.
Let's see. I feel like we had some great ones.
Hashtag long honk.
Long honk.
Honk.
Yeah.
That's your
long
move.
Honk.
Long honk.
Tyson's.
Yeah, the long honk.
Road rage move.
I'll do the long. Yeah, hashtag long honk.
All right, make it happen. If you see anybody drive around with the high beams, give them the long honk. Don't get that decal
no,
on your
don't,
car.
No, don't. People don't get stabbed it. And shot all the time. Tyson does it.
No, you go the other way.
Well, just make sure you have enough gas to drive at least a couple hundred miles.
Yeah, you got to right. combine the two formulas.
Yes. There you go. All right. Special thanks to our News AF intern, Lita, who does a great job curating all of the News AF news every week. And of course, Scott St. Pierre, who edits the News AF podcast. Anything else, guys?
I've got a review.
Oh,
yes.
Hit me.
And this is by our friend Ben King, 87.
Yes.
I assume that's the same Ben King that we interacted with earlier today.
Yes.
The truth is out there. 5 stars. Do you think you're informed? Would you say that you've got your finger on the pulse of what's really going on in the world? If you don't listen to News AF, the most vital source of information mankind has ever known, then you need to get with the program. I, for one, haven't left my house in months. I only get my news from Rob Tyson and the great prophet Danny. And I've never been more prepared for the impending apocalypse. I marvel each week as our three heroes slowly uncover the link between sex robots, creepy clowns, and Canadian food heists that will almost certainly lead to our exile to the galactic salt mines. Thanks to the News AF gang, I am preparing for a role in middle management of the salt mines, while my ignorant enemies will labor away for all eternity. Thanks for the heads up, guys.
Yeah. There you go.
Was this review helpful? Yes. I just marked that as a yes.
NewsAF.news to leave us an iTunes review and to subscribe to the podcast. All right. So we'll be back after Thanksgiving on the 29th for another edition of News AF. Follow Danny Bryson on Twitter. He's at Danny Bryson. Tyson is at Tyson Apostle. Tyson, I will talk to you on Friday when we actually talk about Survivor Millennials and Gen X for the first time.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll probably break some record, but I don't know if it will be the time record. Maybe it's the most words used of a certain word that we didn't use very much before.
Okay. We'll break a record along the way. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Shakas.